So from the book, The Age of Heretics, which I'd recommend, it's very interesting reading because this particular management consultant, author, Art Kleiner, wrote about the history of the change in our management and discusses much of what I've discussed here, but from a what he believes is a very positive point. The book's called Heroes, Outlaws, and the Forerunners of Corporate Change. From his book, corporate heretics built their work upon a body of intellectual work that emerged after the war. These ideas had roots in Western and Eastern spiritual traditions, in the new types of engineering and social science practices, in humanistic psychology, role-playing theory, and experience of anti-Nazi resistance fighters, and the models of systems engineers, and in the counterculture of the 60s. So we have the beginning of the systems dynamics. We have Ludwig von Bernlanffy, and he died in 1972. He developed a kinetic theory of stationary open systems and the general systems theory. He's one of the most important theoretical biologists of the first half of the century. He researched on comparative physiology, biophysics, cancer, psychology, and philosophy of science. One of the founding fathers and vice president of the Society for General Systems Theory. One of the first who applied systems methodology to psychology and social sciences. It was all based on a humanist worldview. J.W. Forrester mentioned him a little bit before. He was credited with modern systems thinking, systems dynamics, and learner-centered learning in kindergarten through 12th grade education. Systems Dynamics and Education Project, Philosophy and Methodology Based on Statistical Thought and Chaos, founder of the Systems Dynamics Group at the Sloan School of Business at MIT, where he still resides, 1960 published Industrial Dynamics, created the world model for the Club of Rome. He had an evolutionary worldview. He's a member of the Club of Rome. Then we have Irvin Laszlo, his student Bernlanffy, founder of the Club of Budapest, founder member of GERG, which is a general evolution research group. You can find that on the web. New Age pantheistic worldview, numerous published papers on parapsychology and psychic phenomena, the World Commission on Global Consciousness and Spirituality, which Robert Mueller, the New Ager, is chair. Director of the United Nations Institute for Training and Research, member of the Club of Rome. Wrote a book, The Choice, Evolution or Extinction, and I read that book. It was rather interesting. On the back, he was endorsed by Wills Harman, and I'll get into him. He's the president of the Institute of Noetic Science. Remember, these are folks that are really impacting how we do business, and have been major players in this. We have Wills Harman, and he's an electrical engineer and science systems pioneer. May I make it clear, I'm a mechanical engineer. Most of these guys were electrical engineers. We're completely different. And he's father of modern New Age movement. Been credited with that. He enlightened folks with LSD at what they call the Sequoia seminars, and he did that through Stanford Research Institute. He's a founder of the Institute of Noetic Research. Although he's dead, his institute is still alive. It's a New Age institute. Noetic means knowledge. Member of Stanford faculty since 1949. Entered the field of social policy analysis in 1966. As director of Education Policy Research Center in 1967. Consultant to the National Goals Research Staff of the White House. Member of the Commerce Technical Advisory Board serving the Department of Commerce. Wrote a book, An Incomplete Guide to the Future. And from that book, he says, one particular version of the future could be a learning and planning society. Again, we're back to the terms learning society, learning philosophy. Whose central project would be promoting individual growth and awareness, creativeness, adaptability, curiosity, wonder, and love, evolving social institutes to more effectively foster such individual growth and participating as a partner with nature in the further evolution of the human species on Earth. Implicit in the learning and planning society is a replacement of the Protestant compulsive work ethic with a creative work ethic, what we would call a work, play, or an ethic. And that's echoed through almost every management book that I've read about creating the work, play, ethic. And also numerous times they talk about replacing the Protestant compulsive work ethic, which was accountability to God. We work for the glory of the Lord. Peter Singe, again, a major player. Everybody who goes through management courses now must read his book. If you walk into Best Buy's and happen to walk towards the back, they'll have much of his stuff and posters on the wall. And he has the fifth discipline and the art of practice of the learning organization. He also wrote a book based on that, Schools That Learn. He defines a learning organizations or a systems organization as an organization where people continually expand their capacity to create the results they truly desire, where new and expansive patterns of thinking are nurtured, where collective aspiration is set free, and where people are continually learning how to learn together. In an interview with Singe, he was asked if he thought his movement is New Age. Asked directly, he replies, "The term carries a lot of baggage, but yes, Deming always talked about a new economic age. That was his term. He said that the principles by which success is going to be determined in this new economy will be different, so it's New Age." He also belongs to the Shambhala Institute, Leadership Practice for Enlightened Society. It's a New Age organization, and quite a few of them, CEOs and stuff, belong to those organizations. He developed a computer simulation, W3, which is World 3 for the Club of Rome. So what do these men have in common? Well, Laszlo studied under Burton Lamphy. Forrester based his systems dynamics on Laszlo and Burton Lamphy's work. Singe studied under Forrester. All are humanist evolutionists. They all have ties with the United Nations. They all influence education and business, extremely influence them. They're heads of universities and have their own departments and such. They're the prevailing thought in modern management. And most systems thinkers are associated with MIT, Stanford Research Institute, Tavistock, or the National Training Labs. Laszlo, Forrester, and Singe are associated with the Club of Rome. What is the Club of Rome? Well, first of all, it's strategic partners with UNESCO. And they published a book back in 1972, sold 12 million copies in 37 languages, called The Limits of Growth. It was based on Jay Forrester's computer model, which predicted economic and environmental catastrophe. This was actually the book that led off the environmental movement and the doom and gloomers out there. It advocates sustainable growth, which is Agenda 21 from the UN. So, what are systems thinkers? Well, they recognize that no individual group ever has all the answers, so they aren't didactic. They believe that there are many truths, depending on past experience and current perspectives. They're critical, reflective, regularly examine the mental models that influence how they understand the world and take action in it. They think holistically. They think about how they think. They're willing to disclose their thinking to others and join efforts for increased understanding. Are lifelong learners, always driven by new questions, and find joy in discovering connections. This is their definition of themselves, by the way. Many systems thinkers are also interested in how human social systems affect the larger ecological systems in our planet. They have unique qualities that help you communicate with others about many systems around us and within us. So this was off American Way magazine when I was on American Airlines, and it was they have a lot of business sections in there, and this was written by futurist Walt Wacker, and I thought it was a perfect example. It says, "Deviance and order can coexist, but today the zeitgeist, which is the spirit of change, is driven more by the fringe than by the mainstream. It's how we got from Ozzy and Harriet to Ozzy Osbourne playing dad on TV. And nobody noticed. You know, it's so incremental that we accept that now." In case you missed it, the February 2000 cover of Rolling Stone magazine sent an unmistakable wake-up call, a message from the land of deviance to Main Street America. Times have changed. Here, on display at the newsstands from coast to coast was a photo of the new American family looking for all the world like a Norman Rockwell painting retouched by Charles Adams. Grouped together in loving bliss were David Crosby and his wife, Jan, Melissa Etheridge and her wife partner, Julie Cipher, and two children. The kids, it turns out, were the biological offspring of a test tube sexual dalliance between genetic material belonging to honey voice Mr. Crosby and striking Miss Cipher. Outrageous. Not the photo. Shocking. Not the test tube babies. If anything raised readers' eyebrows, it was a lesbian couple's choice of Mr. Crosby as sperm donor. Who would pick a balding, overweight, recovered cocaine addict whose past penchant for recreational pharmaceuticals had already necessitated a life-saving liver transplant? The whole ensemble was wholesome Americana and just plain weird. Deviance was knocking loud and clear on the door of Main Street America. Interestingly, Main Street America was answering. So my conclusion, this change that we're going through is happening in our schools, workplaces, and churches, and we're still right back in the garden with Adam and Eve's.